Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're continuing our General Assembly preview this morning. The General Assembly begins on the 13th and from the 88th District this morning. Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole is here this morning. Delegate Cole, always good to have you here. Good morning.
Well, thank you for having me. Always enjoy coming here.
We have good talks about politics and the state. We've been doing this a long time now. You and I, I would not want to look back at pictures of you and I from the beginning of all of this because we've aged a bit.
Well, it's 2002 is when I first came into the House.
Wow.
And I was on the Board of Supervisors for a couple of years before that. So it's been 20 years in elected office.
I had forgotten that you were on the Spotsylvania Board of Supervisors for a couple of years. That goes, and now as an assistant county administrator, you have seen Spotsylvania grow and have been part of a lot of those decisions.
When we first moved to Spotsylvania in 1985, we live out off Route 3, not too far from the city. And when we first moved there, the only thing that was on Route 3 was an Exxon station, the mall, and a Texaco station.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it on Route 3.
Yeah. No, I remember being at the groundbreaking when the Chamber of Commerce was out across from Salem Church.
Yeah.
And how I remember at the time, some business people were saying, I don't know if this is such a good idea. There's nothing out here, now we know what Route 3 looks like. Well, this is going to be quite a different session.
Oh yeah.
For you, just because of last session got in the regular session, but then the coronavirus hit, and now you're all virtual.
Yeah, yeah. This will be more like the special session we had, which was a never-ending session. The House conducted it virtually. The Senate did as much as possible their regular session with in-person votes and things like that. However, the Speaker of the House decided to go virtual, which has pros and cons. We really weren't ready for it because especially first several meetings, there were technical problems. People had difficulty getting in. There were several times where, I was participating in the session, and then all of a sudden my computer would freeze up and I'd have to log out and log back in.
Yeah.
There are still issues with it. I think that it really kind of limits the public's ability to participate. Sure, you can watch live streaming of the committee meetings and session and stuff, but they were live streaming those meetings before when we were meeting in person as well. The way it is now is that now the committee chairmans, it gives them a greater ability to limit who can testify because you have to basically go into a queue and they can pick and choose who they want to let speak. And limit it that way. Plus, a lot of families in Virginia don't have high-speed internet. If you have high-speed internet, maybe you can follow what's going on with the General Assembly. If you don't, then you just can't. I wish we could get back to doing things somehow in regular order. Perhaps put up dividers between people and things. I mean, if Walmart and Giant can figure out how to safely operate their businesses, I don't know why government can't.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right with the plexiglass and things like that. You could do a lot of things. The other thing I didn't think of is you're right though that for the committee meetings. It may be even as simple as your kids are at home, on the using the computer too, and you don't have the band space to be able to do that, and there are some interesting obstacles this year.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, our the tech people that work at the house, they're good people, so they do whatever they can to try to make sure that at least the members have access to what they need. So we'll stumble along and get through it, just like we did the special session.
Well, the other thing is, just I'll be interested to see just when there's debate on bills, it's going to be so much more different.
It is, and it's difficult, again, to get the speaker's attention whenever you're doing virtual, because there were times when they cut off debate where I had questions, and, I had to kind of protest to in order to be able to ask my questions and all, where they just kind of wanted to roll along and get their agenda through.
Well, the other difficulty is, especially at the end of a session when you're going back and forth between the House and the Senate, that's going to be just impossible.
It is very difficult and very different now how they do things with a virtual session. I'm not sure if the Senate, I don't think they're going to do a virtual session. I don't know. I think they're going to do like they did last time, where I think they did their session at the Science Museum, where they had,
spread everybody
social
out.
Distancing and things like that. So, but we'll see. We'll get through it, and, we'll do our best.
Well, I always, to me, one of the great things is the first day of the General Assembly, just all the history there, and that will all be missing this year.
Yeah, the Capitol's been shut down this whole period. It's been a month or so since I've been down in Richmond, but last time I was down there, it was boarded up.
Yeah. Wow.
And so that's, I don't know, that's really disappointing. It was, they initially boarded it up to try to protect it from any of the rioters or looters that were going on down there. I would hope that things have calmed down enough where they could open it back up.
I've also heard that the floor sessions are going to be later in the day. They're not, in the past, it's always been at noon, but that's now going to be moved to later in the day.
Yeah, I suspect the schedule will be fluid, like it is during that's one thing. Is the schedule is always very fluid during session. You put your legislation in, then the speaker assigns it to committees. And then it's up to the committee chairman to schedule it for subcommittee or full committee hearings. And a lot of times you don't get much notice when your bill is coming up. So you have to go run to the committee meeting and present your bill at the last minute.
Delegate Mark Colin this morning. We're talking about the upcoming General Assembly session. We'll take a break and jump into some of the topics when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole from the 88th District in this morning as we preview the General Assembly session. Delegate Cole, when the Republicans were in the majority in the House, you were on you were the chairman of the Privileges and Elections Committee. And as all of this is talked about, whether it's been statewide or nationally, I've been interested. I'm sure you have an interesting perspective on just elections and how they're run.
Oh yeah, this past election, I think, brought out the worst of the worst. The problem was, and it even happened here in Virginia, is they significantly expanded absentee or mail-in voting, mail-in voting, it's much easier to cheat than with in-person voting. So you look at what happened in other states where all of a sudden they produced boxes and boxes of ballots with questionable chain of custody. 90% of them were going for one candidate over the other instead of close to 50-50 split. And that just raises the specter of voter fraud.
Yeah.
And the way the presidential election works in most states, where it's winner take all, you can have one area that where you have may have corrupt local election officials be able to flip an entire state. And I think that's what we saw in four or five states this past election.
Well, and we saw in especially places like Pennsylvania and in some other places where the rules were kind of being made as they went along.
Well, they actually violated state law. There were several incidences where they basically just rewrote state law without going through the state legislature.
Yeah.
And, they blamed it all on the pandemic and stuff, but a lot of the things that they did had nothing to do with the pandemic. It was all about trying to make sure one side won.
I can remember over the years, you did all you could to protect the integrity of elections, yeah. And that was always a big thing. And that whether it was just different ways to register to vote, but just to make sure that the integrity of the election stayed there. And I think we've seen that now this time of where if when you have the integrity of an election, you might not like the way it came out, but you have to accept it. But when you can't protect that.
Yeah, no, and you've got now half the country that feel like the election was stolen. And even here in Virginia, you have Delegate Nick Freitas' race against Congresswoman Spanberger. Mm-hmm. There were some irregularities in that race, and people think that that may have been stolen as well. Once you lose faith in your electoral process, then you've got real problems because what's your recourse then?
Right.
Because you've always, in America, it's always been, well, if you don't like what they're doing, vote them out. But if you don't have faith in the electoral process, what are you going to do then? And that's why I've called on not just reform here in Virginia, nationwide, we need to, one, clean up the voter rolls, make people show proof of citizenship and residence when they register to vote. We need to go reinstate the voter ID law, which the Democrats repealed this last year, go back to in-person voting. Limit mail-in and absentee voting to only those who are physically unable to get to the polls to vote. And you can have an early voting period. I think 45 days is way too much, but a week or two early voting period in order to facilitate people's schedules so that they can get out and vote. But like I said, the absentee and mail-in voting is the choice of people committing voter fraud because it's just so much easier to cheat than it is with in-person voting.
Is there any way to get the genie back in the bottle on this?
Well, the problem is that the Democrat Party, and I know I don't want to be over partisan here on your show, but this is a fact. The Democrat Party is pushing legislation to actually make voter fraud easy. Their mantra is voter fraud is a myth, it just doesn't happen. And that's just not true. Over the years, as I chaired the Privileges and Elections Committee, we heard testimony after testimony of voter fraud right here in Virginia. You can look up cases of voter fraud being prosecuted here in Virginia. Voter fraud occurs in every election. The only question is it enough to be decisive or not? And if it's a close race, I mean, it certainly can be decisive. And that's why we need to adopt reasonable laws and enforce them in order to restore the voters' confidence in the results of these elections.
Boy, you talk about reasonable laws. Right now, there doesn't seem to be anything reasonable that we're in a tough spot.
Yeah. Well, the problem is that, and it's has been happening for several years, is the concept of the rule of law is kind of going out the window. Mm-hmm. People are kind of making up the rules as they go along, and you know, not just in elections but other issues too. And and that's a very dangerous place to be, I think.
For somebody like you, who's like I said, I mean, you've been at the forefront of this in Virginia now for a number of years on the committee. It's got to be heartbreaking to see some of this.
Yeah, it's I said we had, I think, installed some pretty good safeguards in the past here in Virginia, and in one session the Democrats did away with a lot of those, like I said, voter ID, expanding mail-in voting to anybody that wants to do it rather than just those who can't make it out to the polls.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say that they're doing it just so they can cheat. Some of them maybe have the best intentions, but it's naive, I think. And, what they're doing is just making voter fraud easier. And there are people out there who will take advantage of it.
Well, and you see people who talk about, with all the technology of being able to vote from home, mm-hmm. and a lot of different things that are kind of scary.
Yeah, that's the next thing they want to do, is they want to do electronic voting over the internet. If you do that, I mean, it's Katie bar the door. You will never have another fair election in the Commonwealth.
The early voting, now you mentioned if maybe not making the window so broad, that did seem to be that was very popular.
Yeah, but I just think 45 days before an election is way too long. Maybe do it a couple of weeks before mm-hmm. the election would be more reasonable. I mean, they started voting before they even had their first debate.
I did wonder about that, because so much can change if you really care about your vote.
Well, and it does two things. One, it makes elections more expensive, because now the local registrars have to open up to voting for 45 days before an election. So they have to hire people and staff people for that and dedicate machines to it and everything. Yeah. But also it makes campaigns more expensive, which tends to help the incumbents. It makes it harder for a person to challenge an incumbent, because, when you had election day, you could start your campaign a few weeks before election, get it in the mail, start running your ads and stuff. But when you have a 45-day election period, you've got to start running your ads 2 months out, doing your mail 2 months out, and you got to have a continuous campaign going for that whole time, which makes campaigns much more expensive again, which helps incumbents.
Now, in my case too, I first encountered it in the spring with the city elections, where people were already voting. Usually in the past, I'd get together with the candidates 2 weeks out, and all of a sudden you realize people are already voting. Yep. By 2 weeks out, you've got most people who will have already voted to do a profile of the candidates is meaningless at that point.
Yeah, no, and like I said, I'm fine with early voting, but it needs to be like a 2 week period before the election. 45 days, I think, is just unreasonable.
Well, I can remember again that we've had all of these talks, and I can see where the difficulty is going to be, as you propose some of these things you'll run into, you're trying to move us back when in fact you're trying to tighten things up.
Yeah, well, like I said, what's unreasonable about photo ID to go vote?
I mean, you need a photo ID for just about everything.
Yeah, I know it. And especially when you register to vote in Virginia, they'll give you a photo ID if you don't have a driver's license or an ID. They'll give you one for free.
Yeah.
So photo ID, is a reasonable precaution. I think voting in person, unless you have a illness or disability or are out of the area, I think that is reasonable. Just those two steps right there would cut out a lot of the questionable practices. And also, I think it's reasonable when you register to vote to have you show proof of citizenship and residence. You have to do it now to get your real ID from DMV. So why can't you do it when you register to vote? Those right there, if you did those three things, it would probably cut out a huge amount of the questionable practices that are going on and go a long way in restoring people's confidence in the results of these elections.
And nobody, to get a real ID, boy, that is if you've done that, I mean, it is a chore to find everything, and you've got to have so much. You have to have all kinds of proof to just get something like that.
And that's going to be a Fed. They keep pushing it out, but that's going to be a requirement at airports. Mm-hmm. If your driver's license isn't a real ID, it won't be accepted at airports anymore. And any federal facilities and things like that. So I would encourage people to get the real ID. What you need is basically, a birth certificate or passport.
Yep.
And also just like a bill or something with your name and address on it to get your real ID.
Go stand. You're gonna have to stand in line at DMV for a while.
Well, they don't stand in line.
You don't
now.
Do that
they,
anymore.
They do appointments. And that's
right.
That's one of the things, DMV, this appointment system is not going real well. We get calls from people that are just trying to get the title to their vehicle, and it takes
difficult.
Months to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Or you have to go all the way to to Louisa to find an office that's open.
The employment office, unemployment claims, they're months and months behind on that. I mean, it's just because we get calls from people asking us to help them out on that. And, the governor seems to have little concern about that. People have gone months, they were forced out of their jobs by these government restrictions, mm-hmm. That shut down these businesses or cut them way back, and people lose their jobs and they file for unemployment. Then the government takes months and months to start their unemployment benefits. It's ridiculous.
Between DMV and the unemployment situation, is that something you see the General Assembly looking at,
about? We've tried. The governor doesn't seem to be concerned about it. He hasn't really proposed anything to try to address those issues.
Yeah.
I don't understand how places like Walmart and Target, they can figure out how to operate in a pandemic, but government cannot.
Mark Call is here, Delegate Mark Call from Spotsylvania from the 88th District. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is now 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station.
We are previewing the upcoming General Assembly session. The session opens next week on January 13th. Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole is here from the 88th District. The 88th is Spotsylvania, part of Stafford, and part of Fauquier?
Part of Fauquier and also part of the city.
Well, that's right. You are part of the city,
it's
too.
Got four localities in it. Basically, it's the Route 3 area of Spotsylvania, probably about two-thirds or so of the city. And then the Route 17 area going out towards Hartwood and Stafford and out to Fauquier, out to Remington.
Redistricting has been a hot issue, and how that's done is about to change.
Yeah. Well, it's changed. We were able to get through a constitutional amendment to set up a bipartisan commission in order to do redistricting with the hopes that it would reduce gerrymandering. Gerrymandering is something both parties have a history of doing, where they draw the districts to favor their candidates. We were able to push it through despite opposition from the House Democrats this past year. Thankfully, the Senate Democrats, they stayed with us and helped us push it through. Voters overwhelmingly approved it. And so what you have to do is redistricting has to occur every 10 years after the census. And the purpose of redistricting is to make sure the districts are approximately equal in population, because obviously over the 10-year period, different parts of the state grow at different rates. Some parts of the state actually lose population, while others grow at a fast rate. And so every 10 years, based on the census information, you redraw the district lines to make sure that the legislative and congressional districts are approximately equal in population.
Do you think that all gets done before by this fall?
It's going to depend on when we get the census information. We're supposed to have the census data by March. If we can do that, you know, get that, I think we have a good good shot at doing it and getting it done in time. If not, if the census data is delayed, you know, the fallback is that we would run in our current districts this year and then have to run again in new districts the following year.
That's what I wondered. Boy, that would be difficult.
Yeah, it would. It would definitely be a pain and be expensive. So hopefully we'll get the census data in time and the commission will be able to do their job. The way the commission works is it's made up of an equal number of Republicans and Democrats. And so they come up with their plan, present it to the General Assembly. The General Assembly cannot make any changes to it. They vote it up or down. If they vote it down, then it goes back to the commission. They get a second bite at the apple, submit a new plan. And if that goes down, then it goes to the Virginia Supreme Court, and they draw the districts, and whatever they draw, that's what happens.
Okay, so there's definitely you want to get something passed.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, you have to get something done. And like I said, the fail-safe in this is the Virginia Supreme Court,
because right.
if the General Assembly can't agree to whatever the commission comes up with, then the Supreme Court is going to draw the districts, and whatever they draw will be the districts.
Well, it's going to be just waiting and not knowing makes it difficult.
And this is normally what happens in a redistricting year, is the primaries are usually pushed off till August, and so I would expect that to happen again this year. Instead of having June primaries,
right,
we would have them in August. In order to give the commission some time to get their work done and the General Assembly to review it and approve it. If things go well, then that's what will happen, is we'll have primaries probably in August and then the regular election in November. If things don't go well, we may still have primaries in August, but they'll be in the current districts rather than new districts. And then we would have to run again in 22.
Then would you have to run again?
Yep.
So you could possibly, if this doesn't work out well, have to run three straight years, which would really be tight.
That could happen. That last time that happened was in the early 80s, where they had to run, and this was not due to redistricting. Well, it kind of was, but back then they had multi-member districts, and a lawsuit was brought saying that these multi-member districts were unconstitutional, and a court ruled, yeah, you're right, they're unconstitutional, you need single-member districts. And so then they ran in 1981, had to run again in new districts in 82, and then they had the regular election, cycle in 1983.
We always talk about having elections every year in Virginia.
Yeah.
We may really step that up. Now, obviously, statewide elections, the governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, those will still go on.
Yeah, things that aren't affected by redistricting, which are the statewide races, they would go on as normal.
It's going to be an interesting year just with statewide races and so much with that, with redistricting and just really with the whole pandemic, because that we talked about how that has affected how you're going to have a legislative session, but it's obviously affected all of our lives, and we talk about DMV and all kinds of things.
Yeah, hopefully with the vaccines coming out and we can get back to normal, You know, while certainly this COVID is a serious issue, especially if you're a senior citizen or if you have other health issues, you know, and we really need to try to protect those people. But I'm not so sure that there hasn't been a kind of an overreaction, because for most young and healthy people, if they get it, they're just going to get a bad cold. And we've caused so many people to lose their jobs and lose their livelihood, that the virus probably isn't a real threat to them to begin with. And you know, the World Health Organization says that poverty has about a 4% death rate, where the virus has about a 1% or less death rate. And I'm afraid we're pushing people into poverty, which may be worse for their health than dealing with the virus.
I saw that the minimum wage was supposed to go up January 1st. The governor has pushed that back now.
Yeah.
I didn't see any rationales. Is because a lot of businesses are still struggling?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's it, definitely. And I think the governor's action, while he won't admit it, is a admission that the increasing the minimum wage is bad for especially small businesses.
Yeah.
You know, small businesses are the ones that traditionally have been the drivers of creating new jobs. Traditionally, small businesses create about 75% of new jobs. And they're the ones that are most affected by all these government regulations and things like minimum wage and other regulations. And they're the ones that have the hardest time trying to deal with it. So the governor did push that off. And like I said, you know, if the raising the minimum wage was good for the economy, why would you push it off? It's because it's not good for the economy. It actually hurts the people that it purports to help, making it harder for them to find jobs and especially get full-time jobs.
Delegate Mark Cole here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You mentioned the long session that went to what was late October, wasn't it?
Yeah, it seemed like it never ended. I don't recall exactly when we adjourned from it, but it just dragged on and on. Shouldn't have taken more than a week or two, but instead it ran for months but you know, and that's why we want to do just a 30-day session this year. I don't know if that'll happen or not. You know, the Constitution requires a 30-day session this year for the short session. Traditionally, we've always extended that to be a 45 or 46-day session. You know, by consent, but since we've been in session most of this past year,
right,
we already took care of the budget, you know, a lot of the budget issues, which is the primary driver of every session. So I'm not sure why we can't do a short session this year.
I know a lot of the things that the General Assembly was really hard to follow some of these bills, but a lot of them dealt with criminal justice.
Yeah.
Have you heard from local law enforcement their thoughts on any of this?
They don't necessarily want to speak out publicly, but there are a lot of concerns and fears in the law enforcement community over a lot of this criminal justice reform, if you will. A lot of it is directed at the police to try to tie their hands. And I'm afraid that the consequences we're going to see in the coming years will be an increase in the crime rates because of it. Virginia has one of the lowest violent crime rates in the country, and we have the lowest recidivism rate. That's rates of criminals reoffending and going back to jail. We have the lowest recidivism rate in the country, and now a lot of these reforms, I'm afraid, are going to undo that and may actually make our streets less safe and make the jobs of law enforcement much more difficult.
Wow, and that's a statistic that you haven't heard. We tend to hear the opposite when things are kind of broadly talked about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we've been trying to raise the flag on that. You know, and the media has kind of not been doing a lot of coverage of it. Because, quite frankly, the pandemic and the election last year kind of dominated the news.
Yeah.
But again, you know, a lot of the stuff that's going on in Richmond, I have concerns about.
Delegate Mark Cole here. We're going to wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
A few minutes left with Delegate Mark Cole this morning from the 88th District. I guess one of the things is since the session will be virtual, if during the session there's something big, I'll be able to get you in much easier.
Yeah. We'll be. I assume most of the session we'll be doing it here locally, just logging in.
From your office or
Zoom, from either home or office. Whatever. That's how it's done. We may go down to Richmond some. We'll just have to see how it goes.
One topic we haven't talked about before we get out of here, the governor has been pushing the legalization of marijuana. What do you think of that?
I think it's coming. I have concerns about it. However, you get into that same kind of question is how far should government go to protect you from yourself?
Yeah.
As long as people are responsible, they're not smoking and going out and driving and things like that, what they do, I think, is their own business. We just need to figure out, if it's going to be legalized. And I think it's just a question of when, not if, when it's legalized, how will it be regulated and taxed and things like that? How will it be controlled to keep it out of the hands of minors, similar to how we do alcohol and tobacco?
I think some of us look at Colorado and you see what they've done there, and you think this Virginia's not Colorado in any sense.
And hopefully we'll learn from their mistakes, because they just kind of opened it up and kind of gone hog wild out there. There's a much higher incident of, mm-hmm. of children getting a hold of it. And we need to try to make sure that as we go down this road, and I think we're going down this road nationally, not just state by state, that when it is legalized, that we have proper safeguards to keep it out of the hands of children.
We started the show talking about elections in Virginia. There's in the next day or so, the presidential election's gonna come full circle. As you watch that, what do you is again, I guess the question is there any way to is there any way to get closure on the last presidential election?
I don't think so. I know this past 4 years the Democrats claimed that Trump only won because of Russia collusion, which really there was no evidence mm-hmm. at all of that. This time around, depending on what Congress does tomorrow, I think you're going to have Republicans say that this election was stolen for the next 4 years. So I think a lot of it's going to just depend on how people react to these. I know the Democrats, they didn't quit. They were a thorn in the side of the president his whole term, just kept going after him and after him. I just hope that the Republicans and those conservatives, I hope they mobilize for the next elections throughout here and just have a wave that get out and work hard. I tell you, this last election, I never saw a candidate, with so much support and enthusiasm as what I saw for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
People were just motivated to get out there and vote for Trump and support Trump And hopefully, if we can keep that going, hopefully we can take back the General Assembly and the governor's office this year.
Well, and it's so important, local elections. People yep. seem to always focus on the big elections, but so much happens locally.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And as a matter of fact, we have a local election today mm-hmm. in Stafford and Prince William in the second House District, where Heather Mitchell is running on the Republican side. I forget the name of the Democrat that is running, but people need to go out. If you live in the second district, which is part of Stafford and Prince William, need to get out and vote today.
As always, during the session, you provide updates, and if people want to get a hold of you and let you know what they think.
I'm on all the social medias. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Parler, and even MeWe now. So feel free to follow me on that. Also, you can email me at delegate@marklcole.com. My webpage is marklcole.com. Don't forget the L in the middle of it. But it has all my contact information. And I also put my news updates on there as well.
Well, you've dealt during the special session with just dealing with the whole pandemic. I'm sure you're hoping that the vaccine by this spring starts to campaigning would be very difficult.
Yeah, I hope we can get back to normal. I really do. And it's not just for me, but it's for people's jobs and their livelihood. So many people have lost their jobs, and it's taken the government so long to provide them with the unemployment mm-hmm. benefits that their employers paid for to provide that with them, that people are just kind of spent their life savings just trying to pay their bills.
Yeah. No, these are tough times, and you've seen it up close. And we have seen some of the inefficiencies in government.
Yeah. The bureaucracy has failed people during this pandemic.
Spotsylvania Delegate Mark Cole. Delegate Cole, thanks for what you do. Thanks for coming in. And during the session, we'll get together if we have to and
sure.
Talk about what's going on.
I'd be happy to. Thank you very much.
Delegate Mark Cole, January 13th is next Wednesday when the General Assembly restarts, not in Richmond for the House, but virtually. That's it. Thank you for listening. Delegate Bobby Orrock will be here on Thursday morning. See you in the morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.